Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined not by Pete, as I usually would be for a, what is it? We're recording this on a Monday. So this would be a Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, so this would normally be a Tuesday show, and Pete would be on it. But we decided to push Pete's appearance back a day so that he and I can talk after Houston and OKC wrap up their show. As you heard him already, Harrison is instead on the show with me. And we're going to do, like, Pete and I usually have these episodes every so often when there isn't anything specific to really hit on, where we just kind of jump around Silverscreen's website and the headlines that are on there. I used to write there. There are few people who are more aware of the things going on at Silverscreen and Roll than Harrison, so this actually works out well.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that, because today is I have half day off and I am off tomorrow. So there are very few times when I am less aware of what is going on at Silver Screen and Roll than I am right now. So this may honestly, this may be educational for me too. Like, you may get a moment where I'm like, Christian, what?
Well, the first article here is LeBron James shows. Nope, never mind.
So you read the first headline, you're like, that explains why he wrote LeBron should shut up and dribble.
LeBron James opens
not up. Have let that fly.
LeBron James launches OnlyFans. Harrison, what's an OnlyFans?
You're going to get both of us fired now.
So yeah, let's go ahead and get this thing started. These tend to be pretty fun. I like to just kind of jump around and see what's going on here. The first one here isn't as much of a laughing matter, but I still think we can have a little bit of fun with it. And it's Danny Green says people trashing him on social media shouldn't come to the Lakers parade. Quote, you're not real fans. He's been on this one, and he apparently went really, really hard at fans here. I'm going to read, if not the whole thing, at least an excerpt here. Quote, I tried to
it's
see
a long quote.
Yeah.
Quote, I transcribed it this morning. It's a long quote.
You haven't got the auto transcribe thing yet, huh?
No, it doesn't. It's not accurate enough for me.
All right. So I try to see everything from all perspectives. I understand not just the situation I'm in, but the situation everybody is in. There's not much else going on around the world. People are watching basketball. There's not much else to watch. the soccer and baseball shade.
He did mention them. It was just that's why there's an ellipses there. Didn't really add a whole lot, and I was already transcribing a lot.
There's a huge focus on what we're doing and how we're playing. So a lot of people are tense inside the house, so they take it out on us half the time. But my nanny used to say, people are going to talk shit about Jesus and Muhammad. What makes you think you're safe? So that's a great quote.
Great quote. Shout out to Danny Green's Nana Green, I guess.
Hell yeah.
That's good wisdom.
So I just try to block out the noise, man. Anybody that's negative that comes across my page, I usually just block them or ignore it. Just trying to stay focused and have the words of encouragement from my teammates, my coaches, and just keep playing basketball. So yeah, especially playing in a big market, that's expected. They're going to talk crazy about you, talk crazy to you. People call it cyberbullying, whatever. People just like to talk shit. Professional sports is the only job in the world as athletes where people are going to critique you publicly.
Hold on. I disagree with that. I mean, people critique Anthony publicly all the time.
Yeah, you should hear my dad, the way that he talks about me publicly, like in front of all my family. where people come to your job and heckle you. There's not many jobs you have in the world where people from the outside are going to come heckle you and tell them how to do and tell you how to do your job. But that's why you get paid the big bucks. You get paid not just to perform, but to be on that platform and be mentally tough enough to withstand all those things and fight through it. He kept going for another graph or so, but you get the sense here of the vibe he was going for. And I think we got to start here. Personal attacks, right, that don't have anything to do with basketball, that are just mean, are just ad hominem stuff. I understand where the athlete says, nope, I don't need to be dealing with that. I don't need to hear that in my day-to-day basis or business. If, like, Danny Green played awful in the bubble, he was bad on both sides of the ball. And like, if he's talking about people who like you know, specifically reply to him on Instagram, like, hey man, make some threes. I could see why that would get annoying after a while, but there were a lot of people who were taking the next step online and telling us, hey, you guys were way too hard on Danny Green, to which I would say, what do you want me to do? Like, am I supposed to cheer when he clanks wide open three pointers?
I think that guy was saying we were too hard on Paul George, wasn't he? Oh, I don't know.
In general, that was like the general vibe, was that like, no, he was talking about Danny Green and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because he was saying that, like, you know, you guys.
Oh,
have
yeah,
a
it was them because
I
remember I was,
blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
I was like, I literally just wrote something saying, don't cyberbully Danny Green. I genuinely am confused as to why you're adding me about this.
Yeah. I mean, I could see why they would add me. I understand.
Yeah, you, I get.
But what, all right. So how do we find the balance here? Because apparently it's out of whack, according to these athletes.
Well, so, I mean, number one, like, they're, you know, they're obviously going to feel a little bit more strongly about this and, like, why it would be, like, obnoxious and over the line than most people, because it's them, you know, it's in, like, mm-hmm. their mentions and in their, like, Instagram comments and all of that stuff. Like, you know, I thought that the part, you know, for me, where I felt like I was like, people are going to be mad. I think people were probably with him until he said, you're not real fans, basically, if you criticize us.
Well,
like,
shout out to the real fans that stuck with us when we were down 0-1. Shout out to the real friends, whether we're playing or not, playing good or not, that are still by our side, because those are the real ones. You know who your true friends are. You know, some of your true friends have your back. Some of them will post memes and talk shit. That's what they do. When that happens, I say memes are cool and all. It's funny and all. But when it comes to you, you don't see me doing that to you. So why would you do that to me?
And if you're a true friend, that to me felt like it was like alluding to, like, there was someone with a platform
in his
that
circle.
He considered like someone. No, maybe not in his circle. Maybe like, I mean, I'm thinking somebody like that, like either covers the team or like has interacted with him and been cool. Like, but then like made some jokes on Twitter or something or on Instagram or something like that. Like, it doesn't even have to necessarily be covers the team, maybe covers the NBA, maybe like some of those like generalized accounts that he's done interviews with and then were clowning on him when he was missing. Like, you know, I don't know, but that seemed to be a specific allusion to something. Like, for me, I think what it boils down to is, like, I don't think that you're a fake fan if you criticize a player. I don't think that you're like a bad person.
He continues on there and he says, like, it, you know, that's where the quote comes in. If we win a championship, you aren't even allowed at the parade, basically.
Yeah. And so, like, I disagree with that if he's just talking about criticism, which, to be clear, I'm not really sure that he is there. Like, I think that it's one thing, like, for someone like you, for example, like, you root for the Lakers and, like, you're a fan of the team, but, you know, you've been calling out Danny Green as loudly as anyone. I don't think that you've gone over to, like, the line to, like, ad hominem attacks or anything, but, you know, you've talked about, like, can this guy hit a three? Like, and stuff like that, you know? And I think that if people are talking about, like, and if you're just talking in general on Twitter, or you're, like, you know, tweeting about it with your friends, or you're, you know, on Instagram making jokes or whatever, like, to be honest, I think that that's just part of sports. Like, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, I just think it is, like, and that's, you know, that's what he talked about. That's why we get paid the big bucks. Like, where it crosses a line to me, in my personal, like, view, is, like, if you're tagging the player, or you're replying to them, or you're, like, going to
their family
social media,
like,
accounts.
I've seen some people, like, go after family.
Like, yeah,
like Anna Horford is somebody who deals with a lot of... Now, she goes back at people, and she puts herself out there.
Yeah, I mean, she...
But
yeah, she really goes at, like, people in general, I think. And, like, that's a little different. Like, I feel like she's kind of out there more a little bit, but, like, you know, if you're going to, like, and I'm not saying people have done this, but, like, if you're going to Danny Green's family's social media, or, like, or you're going in his Instagram comments or something like that, that's where I think it kind of crosses the line of, like, come on, like, this is hard enough, and they're all, like, even in normal times, I think that's, like, over the, like, it's not something I would ever do. It's not, like, I just don't think it's cool, like, but, like, especially now in 2020, when, you know, Danny just talked about last week, and I wrote a story about this, about, like, it's easy for us to say, okay, we'll just stay off social media. Like, right now, that's their only window into the outside world. Right. Like, I think we all kind of have it hard enough in 2020. Like, I just don't, like, it's one thing to, like, make your jokes, do whatever, like, as long as it's not, like, crossing, like, ad hominem lines or whatever. But, like if you're going to make jokes about Danny Green firing up so many bricks he could build a house, like, which I saw 9,000 people make over, like, the course of the bubble, like, you know, that comes with the territory, being a professional athlete to me. Like, but where it crosses a line, and like if you're saying he played bad, you know, he did. I think even he would admit that. Like, he's pretty hard on himself. Like, but that said, like, I just think, like, if you're tagging him in it or you're, like, you know, going to his Instagram comments, that's where I think it's pretty lame, like, to be honest. Like, yeah. I think that crosses a line.
And especially, like, you know, because he just got engaged, right? So if he's out there saying, like, you know, really proud to announce, like, we're going to get married and we're going to be together forever, right? And then some, you know, Laker fan 248610, whatever it is, LA forever, you know, writes in there, I can't believe she's going to marry somebody who can't make 3-pointers. Like, that's what, you know.
Well, especially because they got engaged before the bubble. So you'd really be going back to, like, old Instagram posts.
He's, like, digging up. He's digging
but
up
stuff. To be honest, I've seen people do that.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes people will go to the most recent tweet and just start replying to that one.
Right.
Like,
and that's where I say, like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on. And then the other thing, too, and this is more of, like, a
it's
personal.
It's the same thing. Like, unless you're, like a major kind of – am I allowed to curse on here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're just, like, a major asshole. Like, you're not going to go, like, and that's sit, really like, pissed. 5 rows behind these – guys, like, and scream this stuff at them at games, which, like, most people are not going to yell that at their own team that they root for. Like, mm-hmm. like, this is kind of where I draw, like, where I would say draw the line. Like, you don't need to go to their Instagram and say, like, what if you
unless
would not
you're
say
a Celtics
it to them,
fan and you're rooting for everybody other than Gordon Hayward.
if you would not say it to Danny Green running into him in line at Starbucks, like, don't go to his Instagram comments and say it.
My thing has always been just be funny. Right. Like, I get roasted on Twitter all the time. Not to the same extent that these guys do. These guys get it to the, you know, exponentially more than I do. But if I say something about playing basketball and then get added with the churro step video 33 times, I chuckle at it because it's funny, because I find that funny. Whereas, like, I remember the other day I put up, you know, I put up the picture of our house now that it's just about done. And I said, like, if you would have told me 7 years ago that this hobby that I had back then would help pay for a house, yada, yada, yada. And then somebody replied to me with something along the lines of, like, stop posting pictures of your house and work out, you fat motherfucker. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Did he think you played for the team? What do you need to be in shape for?
He thought I was Jared Dudley for a second.
Oh, and now we're crossing a line.
That's where it crosses the line. but that's where I say, like, all right, if that guy, let's say I was Danny Green and I posted a picture of my house and somebody said to me, did you make your house with all of the bricks that you've been throwing up?
Admittedly, a funny joke.
I would chuckle. Like, I would laugh. But that's just me. And now, not everybody is like me. Not everybody, you know, has that kind of, you know, the self-deprecating sense of humor. And I think that's another thing that we kind of have to be cognizant of, is in whatever way we possibly can understand, like Lou Williams had a great tweet the other day when Lemon Pepper Lou was the thing that was going on, right? And he said, like, you know, somebody replied to him, how do you deal with all this stuff? And he was like, man, it's all jokes and memes, man. That's what Twitter is for. And I was like, all right. So if he has a thick enough skin to deal with that stuff, then.
And he probably knew, like, admittedly, that was a funny way to get caught. Like, you can be mad about it in the moment, but, like,
right.
I mean, but number one, NBA Twitter was in, like, prime MJ form that night. Like, it was funny. Like, it was not mean. It was just funny.
It's funny.
And, like, how could you not laugh? Like, you got caught by this, like, you know, 20-something-year-old kid posting a photo with you. Like, you know, he's a rapper, but, like, posting a photo with you and not having the good sense to, like, not tag you in it while you're away from the bubble. Like, I mean, you honestly kind of have to laugh about it a little bit. Like, and, like, also, like, not all of those people, like, the people making, like, the best jokes were not necessarily adding him in them either. Like, I think that's the difference to me. And also, I just want to say, I'm sorry for making an OnlyFans joke when you posted your house picture. You know, I didn't realize that you had such thin skin on that one, but
no, I thought you crossed the line when you called me a fat motherfucker. Like, I thought that was a bit much. All right, let's take a quick second and come back and keep going through these headlines. All All right, the next headline that I'm seeing here is Jared Dudley says the Lakers were never worried about losing to the Trailblazers and thinks the Rockets are better than the Thunder. Do you think he should have just added everybody who was talking about the Blazers potentially beating the Lakers in the first round?
You know, it's funny because yes, I think that was somewhat of a direct response to that. Like, he even at one point, like, you can pull up the exact quote, I think, but like at one point in the, when he was talking about the Blazers, like, he specifically said that they weren't losing sleep. And then he also said at the end of it, like, he made sure to mention, like, oh, and we barely lost game one. Like, it was just like you could tell that, like, they weren't going to come out and say it, but, like, the LeBron taking the three from Lillard range, like, LeBron dancing when he came off the court, like, you could tell they took it a little personal, that the Blazers were kind of, like, the Blazers were woofing a lot for a team that won by, like, I think, like, 7 points in, yeah, like, a game. The Lakers shot, like, 20% from the field.
15, or I think it was, like, 16.
It was 15, like, you're right. Yeah, it was, like, so, like, like, I think they probably took that, like, it was like the MJ, like, and I took that personally. Like, yeah. I think that's when you saw them win, like, the next, and basically destroy the Blazers' will to live over, like, Damian Lillard literally left the bubble with us. Like, I know he sprained a knee and that he was, like, gonna go get, like, a second opinion. Like, that's what they said. But, like, do you really think that if you thought there was a second opinion that was gonna allow him to play, he would have left the bubble? No. Like,
so the first MRI came back and it didn't show a tear. And he was like, well, are we sure?
He's like, can I just go see my son? Like, doctor, I don't really feel like I need to be here for another 4 days. Like,
he said if he didn't have a chance at competing, that he didn't want to be there and he took off. The actual quote here from Jared Dudley, the question was, and this is from
Michael Pina, right? Yeah. It was Pina.
What was the mood of the team when the Lakers went down 0-1 against the Blazers? Any concerns at all? Dudley says, no, because you saw what happened. We had so many wide open shots that we missed. It wasn't like they had good defense. We were wide open. We shot bad from the field, 3-point line and free throw line. They shot a crazy amount of free throws and we still had a chance to win. That's not happening 4 times. We're not shooting that bad again. Plus their depth, their minutes were so high for us. It was, let's just take away the easy threes, fouls on off 3-pointers and make these role players have to make tough shots. And they're not going to make enough twos to beat us. And that's what wound up happening. So there was no panic. It was about being more disciplined with what we had to do. Everyone was cool, calm, and collected. Nobody was losing sleep. We knew what had to be done.
Look, he's not wrong, but it's just astounding to hear an NBA player offer basically the analysis that, like, an objective analyst would offer about their own team.
All of us were saying
in a series, because, like, yeah, that's literally what everyone outside of the team was saying.
Yeah,
and then, like, you know, to hear him say that, like, most of the time you're gonna be like, oh yeah, no, like, they beat us, like, they you know, they're really good, like that. He's like, he basically was like, well, their defense is terrible. We missed a bunch of open shots. We knew that wasn't going to keep happening. Like,
yeah.
It's come on. You saw them, like, you saw the way they played defense. Were we worried? Like,
they have Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah.
Come on.
Like, I love Dudley exactly for this reason. Like, he's the guy that you can actually count on to, like, tell it like it is on this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, well, we might touch back on Houston being the better team, according to Dudley. But yeah, I mean, I also think this is one of my favorite kind of points in players' careers, is when they start lining up the post-playing career. And so for him, it's like he very clearly wants to be in NBA media. Like, he wants to do this.
He's even smart enough to keep saying, no, I want to be a coach or a GM, just to, like, help his agent out when he's negotiating that next media thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he's definitely putting all the chess pieces together for that. As far as the Houston thing, I do want to reference that at least briefly. Like, I just think that it's kind of incredible that he gave that kind of bulletin board material quote before they even play the game 7 to determine who's moving on. Like, he literally, like, he doesn't care about OKC, like, having, like, that quote up if they end up moving on, that, like, Jared Dudley said Houston is better than us. Like, he doesn't care because he knows they're better.
I mean, again,
yeah,
you got to be honest.
Not wrong.
It's just like we said about Danny Green. If I have to be honest, my job is to point out whether I see good things and bad things from the team. And every so often I see a good thing and I point that out. Every so often I see a bad thing and I point that out. In this case, yeah, Dudley was...
Every so often you see a bad thing. Just every so often.
Every so often. Like, you know, yeah. it doesn't happen
just
too
once
often.
In, you know, you are known, like, for every once in a while to criticize the team, and that's what I appreciate about you.
I had some Clippers fan call me a homer, and I came this close to quote tweeting it because I know the vast majority of people who follow me would have laughed out loud.
You should have sent them a link to Lakers Reddit.
Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, there's a couple more headlines here, including one about Frank Vogel's pizza addiction. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Just, you have to use that promo code Locked On. It's all one word, all uppercase, LOCEDON. That's $10 off at builtbar.com. And I can't say enough about this product. I just, you know, for me here at home, dealing with Avery all day and doing as much show prep as I can possibly do with her screaming at me about whatever it is that she screams about. And, you know, there are some days where I just forget a meal and I realize, man, I'm a little more angry at Avery right now than I would normally be under these kinds of circumstances. And I'll realize, oh, that's right, I need to eat something. And I'll eat something and I'll be ready to deal with Avery. And that would extend to any situation that you're in. You just do better when you have the right amount of nutrition in your system to be able to deal with the daily grind that we all have to go through. And one of the best ways that you can do that quickly is by eating a Built Bar. They taste great, they're nutritious, they're healthy. And like I said earlier, they get the job done, they fill me up, and I'm ready to go about the rest of my day. So one more time, head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On, and you'll save $10 off your next order. Not your first, but your next order. Just you have to use that promo code Locked On. One more time, builtbar.com, promo code Locked On. The headline is literally Frank Vogel needs more pizza in the bubble. So, aside from the, we'll get to Frank Vogel needing more pizza in the bubble, but is there a food that you would not be able to do without if you were in a bubble type scenario?
You know, I actually, I'm kind of in a bubble scenario, so I've had to think about this. You know, like we're all sort of in a bubble scenario, especially the early days when you didn't really like. Now it sounds like most of the science is saying you can't get it via food, but early on, like, you weren't so sure. Like, I definitely did not order takeout for the first couple months, like probably first 2 months of like quarantine. I don't think that we ate out a single time.
Are you good at cooking? Like, did you ever learn how to cook?
I'm okay at cooking. Like, but you know, it was a lot of frozen food too. A lot of like prepackaged stuff, whatever.
The blogger diet.
Yeah. The blogger diet. And, you know, it got a lot of canned food. It got dicey there on my relationship for a little while, but, you know, we made it happen and we made it to the marriage. So, I think for me, like, cause I was thinking about this yesterday, like, I think for me, it would be Cafe Rio. I would be like, I don't know if I could go 4 months without being able to order takeout.
Harrison, today's show is brought to us by Chipotle.
Oh, well, I mean, that's not my sponsor, so I don't care. I will say that Chipotle is just like, I can't even think of a good burn.
Well, it's crazy that Chipotle has had multiple like rat or kangaroo type moments, right?
I mean, I thought rat and kangaroo were items on the menu at Chipotle.
It should be. Then you're being honest.
Yeah. You know, I'm just saying, like, it might be better than what they currently have, at least compared to Cafe Rio.
For some reason, every time I order takeout Chipotle, by the time it gets to the house, it's freezing cold.
Yeah, no, it's because it was never warm. That's the thing with Chipotle. Whereas Cafe Rio, they give you, you know, like a handmade tortilla that they made that day. Like, they literally, like, make them right in front of you as you're coming in. It's just, it's a much better product. I'm just saying.
We don't have Cafe Rio out here, but we have some good burrito stops. All right. The Mexican
you're in Texas.
Food,
you have good Mexican food.
It's okay. It's a lot of Tex-Mex. Can I? All right. Quick side note. I want to know which asshole saw Mexican food and said to themselves, we need to involve Texas in this somehow.
I mean, I'm going to guess Texan, probably.
Texas. Like what? Mexican food is perfect.
I'm not sure I understand what Tex-Mex is. Is it just like a Mexican food restaurant with an Applebee's in it? Like,
it's
I don't...
Yeah, it's like if you injected mayonnaise into everything.
I don't even want to know what it actually is now. Now I'm just picturing like mayonnaise in a burrito and I'm like, yeah, I'm good on Tex-Mex.
Yeah, you should be basically good on Tex-Mex. For me, man, what would I be? I mean, it's probably just like wine. Like, I don't know if I'd be able to do very well without.
I think you'd be okay. It sounds like a lot. I believe CJ McCollum was selling wine. Like, no joke. Like, that he like had there. I know Jimmy Butler opened up a coffee license. Shop. I think we may have just gotten CJ McCollum arrested in Florida.
He's like bootlegging. He like had to hightail it.
We just realized why the Blazers get laid down after game one. He's like, I got to get out of this state.
If I don't lose by game five, I'm going to be arrested. One of like five people to be arrested in Florida this year was CJ McCollum for bootlegging booze into the.
Yeah, that's like the one thing that's illegal in Florida, I guess.
All right, so can I also offer this up since we're kind of sort of on topic and because Frank Vogel specifically talked about the pizza? I'm going to come out and say it. Pizza's overrated.
You, the guy who resuscitated the pineapple on pizza debate like 9 years after that was a thing and made it a thing in like every episode for an entire summer, are now going to say you don't even like pizza that much.
Actually, I'm going to bring back the pineapple on pizza thing. It's been a while since somebody added me about that.
But, yeah, I think I may try and ask Frank if he likes because he said ooh, he just likes pepperoni and cheese. But I could try and ask him.
Ask
if
he him likes about pineapple.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta ask him.
Bring that to pineapple. Pete.
But so I think pizza is good, but people act about pizza the way it's like some godsend to the planet. And it just isn't. It's not as good as steak. It's not as good as like sushi. It's not as good as like a good seafood. Like there's a.
Oh, Louisiana. I'm sorry that it is not good enough for the proletariat. Like I, as the people's podcaster, will say that pizza can definitely fulfill a need. Like sometimes, you know, when you just need some like, you know, just some fatty, greasy, cheesy food and uh-huh. you just want something simple, pizza is perfectly fine. I'm sorry. I do not have like, you know, this is. Like, this is why people are coming after the top 1% of podcasters. It's like unrelatable takes like this.
Look, if it isn't a dry-aged
bone-in
ribeye.
Actually, my analytics, pizza's bad.
If it isn't a bone-in, dry-aged ribeye that has been sitting in that meat cellar for 32 years, I just, like, I don't see what the point in eating is. I don't understand what we're
anyway,
doing.
Anyway, welcome back to the Dunked On podcast.
Let's go one or two more headlines here before we get up out of here. So Jason Kidd is reportedly hoping to be the next 76ers head coach. And you and I had a little bit of fun with this on our show last night. And I kind of
okay, yeah, we
around.
Did talk about that. I was like, is this deja vu? Like, I feel like we talked about that.
So we had some fun with it last night. And I kind of realized in thinking about it, like, this is the act of desperation, right? Like this is, he thought that he would be an assistant coach with the Lakers for 1 year, claim that he like learned what it means to be in to go through the ranks of assistant coachhood, which like, by the way, there are assistants who have been assistants in the NBA for like decades. And, yeah. And he's done it for like 1 year and he's like, nah, I can't do this anymore. This is awful. So
yeah, it's like he was his agent told him, they're like, well, the Lakers are willing to hire you as an assistant. I think maybe you should take it and we can like really like sell the narrative that you've learned what it takes to win. And, you know, you've worked your way up now. And he's like, yeah, I could do that for a year. And he's like, well, no. And he's like, yeah, I could do that for a year. Just tell him I'll do it. And.
But yeah, only a year.
Yeah.
No more than a year. And it has now gotten to the point where he is openly lobbying for these jobs, which. Like,
Anthony, he's not openly lobbying. These are just reporters who happen to know that Jason Kidd wants these jobs. It's not, he's definitely not lobbying for them. Yeah.
That's
I mean, how they found that out, one is just left to guess.
I think we might've reached the point though, where we realized that Jason Kidd might not be a head coach in the NBA again.
I do like appreciate, I'm not sure that I'm there yet. I do think that he will get another chance at some point. I don't know that it will be this off season, but there's been like enough buzz like about him that like it can't all
you know how buzz works
agent.
Right
it can't all just be his agent like you, as much as I we mean, like to make jokes it's not
can't it?
All his agent No, I don't think it could all be his agent.
I mean, this is the same guy who, like, right after Giannis, or right after he departed the Milwaukee Bucks, was, you know, saying that Giannis might not ever play again for Milwaukee.
I don't know if he went that far, but I think he did literally say that Giannis was crying when he found out, which, like, Giannis could not have appreciated too much. I did think that it was funny that, like, the Knicks, when, like, Thibodeau was clearly asking for more money than they were willing to give him, were like, well, we might just hire Jason Kidd. And, like, and then, like, you know, the entire New York, it was a leak that basically backfired so badly that they just had to pay Tibbs because their fan base was so up in arms.
Tibbs basically called their bluff, and then they had to probably give him an extra couple $1 million for his trouble.
Yeah, I would be curious to see how that worked out. But, like, you know, jokes aside, like, the Lakers players have spoken glowingly about Jason Kidd every single time that they're asked, sometimes when they're not asked. Frank Vogel has done the same. Like, I think that at the very least, like, whatever you think of his past head coaching resume, of him as a person, whatever, it is clear that this team feels like he has contributed to what they've been able to do this year in much the same way that, like, a lot of people have contributed. Like, they talk about how great Lionel Hollins has been. And, like, you know, I know Phil Handy has gotten some love. Like, everybody on this assistant coaching staff, like, is going to get a little bit of more of a glow up than they already had for what has gone on here. You know, Mike Penberthy even. Like, I think everyone is going to get their reputation boosted. Is that going to be enough to get Jason Kidd to a head coaching job? Like, I don't know. But, like, I do know, like, you know, or I don't know, but I would assume that the Lakers would like to probably keep him around beyond this year. If for nothing else, then, like, Giannis still clearly thinks highly of him. So, like, if you can keep Kostas and Kidd around, like, that may be, like, mm-hmm. two of the infinity stones that you need to try and lure him in 2021. Like, again, I'm not saying Giannis is coming, but I do, like, I have a feeling that the Lakers would very much like to have Kidd on their roster, like, as part of their organization when that decision is up.
Yep, go Heat. My thing with Kidd, we see this a ton, man. Like, some people are just better equipped to be assistant coaches than head coaches. And now he has made enough money and has a great enough resume as a player to where he says, I don't want to stick around and be a lifelong assistant coach. And I wouldn't even blame him. You know, coaching isn't for everybody. But I think what I saw from Kidd as a head coach is that he doesn't have the attention to detail necessary to be a great head coach. And I don't, you know, maybe he learned that in a year. Vogel is a very good coach to learn that from.
Yeah.
You know, because that is one of his real strong suits. And maybe this has been, you know, enough of a growing experience that he can become better at that stuff. But only 1 year, or maybe a couple years removed from that, and with only 1 year of this experience, I would be, like, if I was a fan of another team and they hired Jason Kidd, on top of the personal reasons that I'm not particularly fond of Jason Kidd, but just from a basketball standpoint, I don't think he's gone through this kind of rehabilitation, but kind of learning process that he needed to go through. So maybe after next year, maybe the year after that, but it's also going to get to a point where he says, I don't want to wait around much longer, and just moves on. And I wouldn't really blame him.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, just to play a little bit of devil's advocate, like, I do think that, like, his first year with the Nets, I think he genuinely impressed a lot of people as a coach. Like, I think with a veteran team like that, like, he is probably better suited for, and we're seeing a little bit of that this year too, where this is, like, almost an entirely veteran team. Like, I think you're seeing his personality probably mesh better. Like, you're seeing, you know, some of those deficiencies get glossed over a little bit when you have veterans that already kind of know how to play. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to teach them, essentially. Like, you don't have to kind of, like, coach them up as much. It's more about, like, what are the big schematic ideas that you can bring and that kind of thing. Like, I do think that he's probably better suited for that kind of job than he is with, like, let's develop our young guys type one, as we saw in Milwaukee. Yeah. And another note, like, I did think that it was funny that, like, the Knicks essentially leaked that they were impressed with him. Like, you know, I think their exact words were, like, that he had learned from his past mistakes in other organizations and whatever. And, like, essentially the gist of the leak was, like, Jason Kidd told them, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to commit coups anymore.
I coach coups.
Which is probably great to hear. Which is probably great to hear when you're a general manager who Jason Kidd would presumably be committing the coup against, like, at that point. as head coach, you know, that this guy is like no longer a coup enthusiast. So
that's good. He's not an enthusiast anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I got to get out of here before I get fired for any more bad jokes. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you very much, Harrison, for hopping on. This was a lot of fun, kind of jumping around the silver screen and roll headlines. Pete and I will be back to talk to you guys after the Houston and OKC game, as we will know who the Lakers are taking on in their next series. So plenty of stuff to kind of learn from that one as well. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.